went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you were to try to come to see me, which I always encourage, that's the best thing you could ever possibly do, because I'm going to, even if you just walk into the office and introduce yourself, I'm going to do some level of evaluation to determine what you're dealing with. So that gives you FaceTime with me, and it gives you a brief evaluation probably so that we can help answer some questions as to why you felt you needed to come see me. We're located at 138 Canal Street. So when you come off of the Canal Street and into the Pooler Parkway Plaza, when you walk into the, when you drive into the parking lot, you're going to be facing five buildings, two on the left, one in the middle, and two on the right. We are the second building on the left. And when you come in the front door of the second building on the left, we are the first office on your right. So we're suite 404 of building 400. And it would be my pleasure to see you. If you don't want to see me, but you want to talk to me first, the best way to do that is to call my cell phone directly at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. I will be the one answering the phone. That is the best way to get a hold of me, short of walking into the office. Please do not text that phone. I ask you not to text it because the phone does not have the technology to receive a text, because I don't like texting. And I think it's a poor way to communicate with people. I think people text to people thinking that they're communicating when in fact they don't even know that the other person received the text, let alone is answered their text. So I would ask you not to text me, but if you do want to use that kind of technology, you can always email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And I'll answer your emails and get back to you as quickly as possible, usually within the first couple of hours of you sending me an email, because that's what you're looking for an answer. So This show is called When Your Health Matters. It's not up to me when your health matters. It's up to you when your health matters. My hope is that you're listening to this show because your health does matter, and you're looking for solutions and understandings and information that's going to help you have better health. So we're grateful that you tune in every week. If you do that every week, that's why we're here. And so we're going to cover a topic today. I'm not 100% clear on what the topic is yet because I haven't introduced my cohort today. My cohort today is a returning guest, special guest person who's asking me the questions. For you, the listener, he's your patient advocate. So my special guest advocate today is, once again, Marshall Mermel. He's a good friend of mine for it's got to be close to 16 or even 20 years. I'm not sure how many years it is. I know it's been a lot, but he's a brother from another mother, as far as I'm concerned. We're two kindred spirits. We support each other in different ways, and he's got a fascinating mind, which is one of the things that I appreciate about him is that he looks at things differently, the same way that I do. Only he applies it in a different arena and is gonna save the planet because that's one of his passions. And like I said, his name is Marshall Mermel, and we want to say welcome, Marshall, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Thanks, Dr. Rick. I really appreciate the intro. And yes, we've been friends for a long, long time. And I really appreciate everything that you've done for me and my health. Well, now we're into February, and Chinese medicine continues to focus on the water element. In that regard, it makes sense the organ associated with water is the bladder. What is the function of the bladder for one's health?
Well, the bladder is more than just a container. True, we store our urine there, and the bladder controls the alignment of the whole spine, and the bladder meridian runs the length of the spine on both sides of what are known as the spinous processes. So the bladder has a bunch of different relationships within the body. It certainly is a storage site for our urine, and we want to make sure we maintain the integrity of that. But we also want to maintain the integrity of the bladder as a whole on the organ level so that we can control the alignment of our spine.
Well, Dr. Rick, it sounds like, as you mentioned, the bladder is usually considered the organ holding for urine. Is it anything more than that?
It is a holding organ, and it, as I said, helps to regulate spinal alignment and to maintain the health of the individual. If you appreciate the fact that your spinal cord passes through your spine, and there's 27 different pairs of nerves that come off the spine that go innervate every part of your body, literally every cell of the body, and if there's nerve interference putting pressure on those nerves, then wherever that nerve that's being interfered with happens to go is going to have decreased function because the communication that regulates that function is being interfered with. So it's of high value for an individual to make sure there's no spinal interference. And one of the relationships within the body that regulates that spinal balance happens to be the bladder.
So I've heard you recommend in other shows and personally drinking a quart of water for every 50 pounds of weight. With all that water, wouldn't one have to go to the bathroom a lot during the day?
Well, actually, no, Marshall. Your body needs water to complete all the metabolic processes, including maintaining proper water levels. When the body has enough water based on your weight, then the body and the brain can do its job quite efficiently and quite well. Less water begins to create problems, and that's the thing. We're all walking around functionally dehydrated, meaning we're still able to function, but we don't have enough water. Now, if your brain is 80% water and your body's 70% water, if your water levels tend to go down because you're not consuming enough water, which part of the body is going to suffer first?
I imagine the brain.
Exactly. And so when the brain starts to malfunction, then its communication system as runs through your spinal cord and through the spinal nerves that's being affected by the health of your bladder. It's interesting how the water that is processed by and let go of finally in the body by the bladder also helps to regulate neurological function and spinal health.
So how often should one go to the bathroom and use the toilet?
Usually when the urge arises, and it may be different for everyone based upon many different factors, especially subconscious ongoings running in the background of our conscious awareness. And, you know, if a person has an overactive bladder, that's an issue. But, you know, I drink lots of water throughout the day, and I use the toilet when it seems appropriate for me. I don't actively hold my urine because that will create problems. Teachers who aren't able to go out to the bathroom between classes because they always have to be monitoring students. They don't have the freedom to use the bathroom. I have a lot of teachers that come to me that have bladder weakness as a result of having to hold their urine all day long. And I think that the school system needs to come up with a better solution for that so that, A, I don't know, hire a student teacher that can monitor the class while the teacher has the opportunity to go use the bathroom so that they're not creating bladder issues.
So it is a problem not to use the toilet when the urge arises.
Absolutely. Again, it will create pressure on the bladder and the urethra. It may create prostate concerns if you're a male, or it could create, the need for Depends undergarments. You know, you see these commercials for adults wearing diapers, and it's a sad situation that we're to the point now in our society where there's commercials at it. Why? Because it's become such a problem that we have to develop a whole industry about it. What does that say? It says that something is being missed and something isn't being properly addressed, because losing bladder control shouldn't be a normal rite of passage as you get older.
Right. So how much urine can a bladder hold?
Quite a lot. I personally have held over a gallon of water at one time, and I do not recommend that. Relieve yourself when it's appropriate and choose not to stress your bladder by holding it for too long.
Well, I've heard the term voiding. Why is that term used?
Void means to empty, so I feel it's appropriate, and it sounds like you're smart when you say void versus say empty. There's a lot in healthcare that is about sounding important and sounding knowledgeable and sounding like you're a smart person. So myalgia of the cranium is another way of saying you have a headache.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't you just say you have a headache instead of myalgia of the cranium?
Right.
Well, because myalgia of the cranium makes you sound smart, when in reality, it's just simple to say you have a headache. But, you know, why do we do the things that we do in healthcare? Because it's all about, keeping control of the situation. If you talk in language that the patient doesn't understand and they trust you, then they're going to listen to what you have to say, whether it's appropriate or not.
Well, going back to the water issue, how does the bladder signal one?
Through the nerves and the stretching of the muscles of the bladder, and so you'll get a stimulus that basically says that, you know what, it's time to void your urine, or it's time to empty your bladder.
Right. But what happens if you can't completely empty the bladder?
Well, you can create the basis for a bladder infection due to stagnant urine and becoming a place to sponsor abnormal growth within the urinary tract, and that's not a good thing to have, but it is something that goes on. You know, there's a circumstance that when a woman has a hysterectomy, and she has her uterus removed, well, there's a common ligament that supports the bladder and the uterus. And every woman knows that when she becomes pregnant, the uterus grows and it grows forward, and the first thing it's going to put pressure on is the bladder. So a woman who's pregnant needs to use the bathroom a lot because the bladder can't hold a lot of urine. So the interesting thing is, when one gets a hysterectomy, their bladder is now going to sag because part of the suspensory ligament has been removed. And when the bladder sags, then the opening for where the bladder releases, the urethra, mm-hmm. Okay, sometimes the bladder ends up falling below where the urethra exits the bladder, and so urine can collect within that area below the urethra, whereas when the bladder used to be held appropriately, then urine would just simply run out the bottom of the bladder into the urethra. Well, now it can't do that because the bottom of the bladder is below the opening of the urethra, so you get, you know, you don't void the bladder completely.
So what are the muscles that control the bladder?
There's a middle layer within the muscle, within the wall of the bladder that helps to contract and expand, and helps to, when it does contract, it helps to propel the urine down the urethra. You got a sphincter at the bottom of the bladder that helps to regulate whether the bladder opens up to release the urine or not. And then you have some muscular control within the urethra itself, which if you've ever been urinating and something happened to where you had to stop the urine flow immediately, okay, and you feel the tightening in that area between your legs, okay, those are the muscles that help to, you know, and women can do a thing called Kegel exercise. Men can do them too, but it's more common for women to do it because it's more common for women to get bladder weakness.
I see. In Chinese medicine, the bladder is actually the longest and most complex meridian, as you described at the beginning of the show. It goes from your head to your pinky toe. What is the significance of that?
Well, it signifies the importance of regulating your bodily fluids before excretion and how that impacts overall health. It's part of the survival mechanism God installed in all of us.
That's interesting, because the other bladder, the gallbladder, is also a long meridian, isn't it?
It is, and the gallbladder itself regulates all digestive issues, all headaches, and all knee pain, and it passes directly straight through the knee, but it starts right at the outer edge of your eyeball, right where your eyelids come together on the right on the side. This is the gallbladder one point.
Right.
And then the last point of the gallbladder meridian is actually at the end of one of your toes and your feet.
Wow, that's interesting. Is there a difference between organ function and energetic function of the bladder?
Certainly. Energetic function is about consciousness, and organ function is about bodily function itself. And you got to appreciate that energetic, conscious, emotional balance is what's going to affect how an organ functions. And so there's a direct relationship there. And if you want to get to the source, you balance a body energetically, and that will influence how it functions physically.
So the way the bladder meridian aligns with the spine, does it show a close relationship between the meridian and spinal alignment?
Yeah, we touched about that at the very beginning of the show. You know, the bladder meridian runs both sides of the spine, right next to the spinous process, or the lumps that you feel, the bony points that you feel in your spine all the way down from the base of your skull all the way down to your sacrum. There's little junctions where there's little bony protrusions. Running up and down on both sides of those points is the bladder meridian, and it does directly affect the health and integrity of the spine.
So backaches are associated with the bladder, then?
They can be. It's usually more the kidney and the large intestine, but the bladder is certainly involved.
So what is the relationship between the bladder and sciatica, if any?
Well, when a person has sciatica, usually a hormone issue, the bladder and how it controls the sacrum will sometimes move out of alignment and create the basis for the sciatica itself. And sciatica itself is, ideally, it's a hormone imbalance. And so people who get sciatica either regularly or periodically, I just want every one of you to understand that you have a hormone issue. And when you address the hormones, your sciatica will go away once and for all, and you won't need to go back and get that adjusted periodically or what have you. And so that's an important understanding to have. So, Marshall, I appreciate the question so far. It's about time we take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. So you, listener, please come back after this short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, stop into my office, because I just gave you those pertinents. But if you want to call me before you come in, please call my cell phone directly, which is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please do not text that phone, as it does not have the technology to receive texts, and you'll never get a response from me. But if you do want to do the texting type mentality, you can always email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And I give you my address, my phone number, and my email so that you can get a hold of me when your health matters. And that's what this show is called. That's what we try to give you the understanding of, how to take better care of yourself and your health. and we want you to use us as a resource when you have questions and concerns. And today we've been talking about bladder health, and Marshall, you have more questions, I'm sure.
Indeed I do, Doc Rick. An important question, I think, that listeners would like to relate to is, what is the relationship between the bladder and the kidney?
Well, they mutually support one another, the kidney being the main organ in the water element and the bladder being the minor organ in the pair of the water element. And so the kidneys, actually, when they do their job, their byproduct or their waste product that is associated with filtration through the kidneys itself is urine. And so urine will run out of the kidney down the ureter into the bladder, and then the bladder holds on to the urine until it's appropriate to release. And then the bladder helps you to let go of all those liquid wastes. And so the relationship is a very important relationship, and you want to maintain balance between your kidneys and your bladders as to be healthy for your whole life.
Well, that's fascinating. What is the relationship between, let's say, the large intestine and the bladder?
Well, the relationship is actually more with the kidneys and the large intestine. They help to maintain fluid balance, as the kidneys will pull from the large intestine to maintain proper fluid levels for the blood. So what's interesting is, when you don't get enough water in your normal daily ingestion, the kidneys are going to start to have issues. And when the kidneys start to have issues, they will signal to the large intestine to absorb more water so that the benefit of the kidney is going to be the result of that. But if you pull all the water out of the food that's passing through your intestines, then things will dry up, and then you get constipation, and then you get large intestine problems. So people who are constipated probably have kidney issues, and both of them probably have dehydration issues. And so I just ask people to do the most simple thing that they can do, is just drink more water.
That's really good advice, Doc Rick. I certainly follow that myself. What are the emotions that are associated with the bladder?
Things like paralyzed will, meaning you can't do the things that you want to do, that will affect how the bladder functions. Feeling miffed, being timid, feeling inefficient, being wishy-washy, having a whatever attitude, what the French would say, comme ci, comme ça, is what is kind of thing. Just having that kind of blasé attitude, those will all be all things that affect how the bladder functions.
So a weak bladder corresponds to things that you don't want to do?
More so the things you would like to do but are paralyzed to do, hence the paralyzed will, meaning that you can't do the things that you want to do for one reason or another, as contrived by your emotional reality. And so, I'd like to go out with this person, but I'm married. That creates paralyzed will. That could create bladder issues.
Wow.
I'd like to quit my job, but I have bills to pay and I have responsibilities to meet, so I can't quit my job. And so you now spend years in a job that you hate, and you end up developing bladder issues as a result.
Wow, that's fascinating. Is the bladder in charge of getting rid of the things your body doesn't want or need?
Well, it's in charge of finally letting go of any fluids that you are ready to let go of, and the large intestine is in charge of letting go of things overall, specifically the solid things that the body lets go of. So the large intestine, actually under the control of the gallbladder, is that gets the final say in terms of when we let go of things. But, you could scare the bejesus out of somebody and they're going to wet their pants. Why? Because fear is a kidney-based emotion. And when the kidneys let go, they're going to tell the bladder to let go, so that fluids don't back up and create more problems for the kidneys. So there's a lot of different relationships there.
That makes sense. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with that. Is incontinence becoming a bigger problem today?
Well, if you watch television, you'll know that it is, because they have companies that have created adult undergarments that look like you can still wear jeans and you don't look like you have a diaper on because blah, blah, blah. And it's, I look at those commercials. I feel bad for the women that are in the commercials. They're getting a paycheck I give them a lot of courage. They stand on national television and they talk about their bladder control issues. And I hope that they're only acting, but who knows? Maybe it's true for them. Like we mentioned before, that when a woman has a hysterectomy, and there's a lot of people trying to talk women into having hysterectomies, if they're not going to use the uterus, you might as well take it out. I think that's ridiculous. But for those who have legitimate reasons, maybe they had uterine fibroids or maybe they had prolapsed uteruses or those sorts of things, and they go through the procedure of having their uterus removed, they're going to create bladder weakness. So then maybe wearing the Depends undergarments is appropriate for them. But, you know, now I've seen some advertisements for men's Depends undergarments. I can't imagine, you know, I mean, I can't imagine. I've seen it. It is possible that when you got benign prostatic hypertrophy or when you have bladder weakness in a male, that they too could get, quote, dribbling associated with it. But because the urethra is so much longer than a woman's urethra is, But hey, if they put the thought in a person's mind that you have bladder weakness and you're going to need Depends undergarments, even if you're a man, why not make them? If you create the supply, then you can create the demand.
Well, what is meant by having an overactive bladder? Is it associated with incontinence?
Well, it can be. It can be associated with an overactive bladder, incontinence, and bladder weakness. And when you have bladder weakness, you can not necessarily have an overactive bladder. So it just depends on what's going on. If you have a condition known as interstitial cystitis, which is inflammation of the middle layer of the muscle of the bladder, that's where you get pain and discomfort. You may not want to avoid your bladder because then that contracts the muscle, or you may want to avoid the bladder for the simple fact that you don't want the muscle to stretch. So interstitial cystitis, or IC, is a very uncomfortable condition, and that can lead to overactive bladder.
And you've talked about incontinence is a problem more for women or men. How does incontinence differ between men and women?
Well, women are more prone to it due to the shortness of their urethra and other female reproductive issues like having a hysterectomy, et cetera, and bladder weakness and bladder sagging and inability to empty the bladder fully. And also just the proximity of all that goes on there within a woman's hygiene area. Men, there's a lot of separation between the urethra where that exits the body versus where all the other components that are there. Whereas with women, they're all kind of sitting there together.
I see. Well, can emotion difficulties point towards a physiological imbalance?
Emotional issues will always lead to a physiological imbalance, and to not be aware of that, not to check for it, and not to offer some level of support for it will allow it to become a problem. Luckily for what I understand and what I do in the office is we check for those relationships when a person presents with a problem to make sure that we're addressing all seven of the pillars associated with a health imbalance, or whichever of the seven pillars needs to be addressed. And we've done a show on the seven pillars. So,
right. So how do you uncover the underlying causes of physiological imbalances?
Again, ask the body, check for all the different pillars and address what you find and expect positive outcomes to be there, and they will. And one of those pillars is physiology. And so when you're looking physiologically at maybe the bladder or maybe the kidneys or maybe the intestines, and you find that that pillar is out of balance, then you address that pillar and then the problems go away.
Well, you kind of touched upon pregnant women earlier in the show. When a pregnant woman has to go to the bathroom more times than before, is this just because the baby puts pressure on the bladder?
It is.
And are there hormonal changes during pregnancy that affect the bladder?
There are, and there can be. And for some women, it's an issue, and for some women, it's not. It just depends on what their constitution is, and is it something that's out of balance or is it not?
So once pregnancy is over, do things return to normal?
Most times, yes, and the trend currently is becoming a problem. Since we all fail to eat real food and are exposed to 86,000 different toxins on a weekly basis, this is making it harder to have a normal experience compared to where we were even just a generation ago. I mean, I talk to senior citizens all the time because I have a large population of elderly people that are, you know, in their later 70s, 80s, and 90s. And, you know, when I go to see one of my patients up in New York who's 93, I go to her house because I don't think she should be driving anymore. And to talk to her about what she's witnessed over the course of her 93, she's seen a lot of change. And I ask her, do you remember what strawberries taste like when you were a little girl? And she's like, oh, they were beautiful. And I say, how do they compare to today? And they're just like, the ones that we grow today and sell today, they don't even taste like real food. She knows what real food was because she grew up with it.
Right.
I've never experienced real food because I was born after World War II. Real food hasn't existed in this country since World War II.
And we know that because of the soil that we grow, which
the
I'm
soil and
with.
The petrochemicals they use as pesticides and all the genetic modification and the things that we do to the food supply.
Well, Doc Rick, there is hope. I'm pushing people to go back to regenerative farming, but we could do that on another show. we've discussed this obviously earlier, but why do hysterectomies have to? What do they have to do with the bladder problems?
Well, as I said, they share a common ligament that gets cut during the hysterectomy, which results in less support of the bladder, leading to bladder weakness.
So a woman has a hysterectomy, she has to go to the bathroom more frequently, right?
Yeah, and it's due to the weakness in the support of the bladder, so it sags and results in more urgency to void. Unfortunately, because the bladder has dropped, the bladder doesn't fully empty, giving a woman the urge to urinate, even if they just recently went.
So for men, does an enlarged prostate lead to incontinence?
Well, it can over time, as the prostate enlargement inhibits normal urination, which leads to bladder stress, resulting in weakness and eventually incontinence in the bladder sphincter that's right there by the prostate.
So can you be a little more specific for our listeners about the connection between prostate problems and bladder issues?
Well, the prostate sits right at the base of the bladder, and the urethra passes through the prostate after it leaves the bladder. So a prostate issue will create problems when voiding the bladder because it may choke off the urethra itself, or it may put pressure on the bladder itself and lead to improper voiding and lead to urgencies and those sorts of things. And so you want to maintain the whole genital urinary system functioning in the most efficient way possible.
Well, I know one of the more common treatments out there in the medical world is treatments for prostate issues. Can that lead to bladder problems?
Well, it can, and fortunately, the technology associated with doing prostate issues, if they used to go in old school and use scalpels and cut away the enlarged prostate, they could potentially nick the nerves that control the urethra, or they could potentially nick the urethra itself. And so now they have things. I mean, I've heard the commercials. I haven't done any research on it because I haven't had any patients that need to do it. But I was listening to a commercial even coming over here about this thing called a cyber knife and how that's, what the commercial say, something about within a simple treatment or within three visits very quickly together, as opposed to going the non-traditional route, which may be several treatments over several weeks. They're becoming more efficient. I would imagine that the cost of the efficient treatment is going to be more than the more lengthy treatment. Why? Because you're saving people time, and time is money, so that justifies us charging more, even though it's an easier process.
Right. Are prostate issues something that every man should expect to have?
In today's day and age, yes, with all the food issues and the over-processing of our food and the stripping away of our vital nutrients, I'm going to say yes. And, you know, with the difficulties that we have with reproduction in our society, et cetera, then, you know, I don't say that you should expect to have one, but it would be something that you would want to stay on top of and make sure that you go have a proper prostate evaluation when you get to be of a certain age. And I would say that's age 55 or above. And so that's a good place for us to stop for right now, Marshall. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. Please, as a listener, listen to this commercial, and we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're at Suite 404 of Building 400. How do you get to that? Well, if you're coming down Pooler Parkway, you're going to want to turn on to Pipe Maker's Circle. There's opposite the car wash that's on Pooler Parkway. So if you turn on to Pipe Maker's Circle and go down Pipe Maker's Circle, you're going to take your first left, which is Canal Street. Once you've gotten on to Canal Street, you're going to take your very first right into the 138 Pooler Parkway Plaza. And when you pull into the parking lot, you're going to see that there's five buildings in front of you. There's two on the left, there's one in the middle, and there's two on the right. We are located in the second building on the left. And when you pull up in front of the building and you walk in the front door, you're going to make your first right, and we are Suite 404 right inside the front door. And that's how you would get to our office. I certainly want to see you face-to-face. That's where I can get you the best results. That's where you can get the best information and the best understanding, because we will tailor the information specifically for you, the person who has the issue. But so many people in our society are afraid to talk to people or are afraid to, interact with people. That's why, we have some of the issues that we have in our society, but that's another show for another day. So what they end up doing is they spend a lot of time talking on their phone. I was at a restaurant the other night, and I was sitting there by myself having dinner because I was in a situation where I happened to be by myself. And I noticed a family of five sitting across the restaurant from me, and they were all sitting around a big round table. And not one of them was talking to any of the other. They were all sitting there looking at their screens. And, it's very, very common that people use their smartphones, and they use their smartphones to do dumb things like not talk anymore. But they were even texting back and forth to each other instead of actually talking. Please don't text my phone, because my phone doesn't have the technology to receive a text. I will never get it. I will never respond to it, because I will never get it. And then you'll get upset with me because I never responded to your text. So if you want to do the texting thing, please email me. My email address is docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. And whether you step into the office, whether you call me directly, or whether you email me, either way, I am going to answer your questions. I am going to get to the bottom of your concern. I am going to help you get in control of your own health. And so that's my invitation to you. So earlier in our show, this whole show, we've been talking about bladder health, and Marshall, my co-host for this week, has been asking me questions about the bladder, and we got into the prostate, and we got other things that we need to talk about the bladder. So what other questions do you have, Marshall?
Well, Doc, we've discussed about the bladder and, as you said, other organs. Now I think my questions are really focusing on infections. We know that there are bladder infections, and one that I saw on TV the other day was a commercial about chlamydia and the bladder. What is chlamydia?
Well, that's interesting. Chlamydia is a bacterial infection. It is a very small parasitic bacterium which, like a virus, requires a biochemical mechanism of another cell in order to reproduce. Bacteria of this type cause various diseases, including trachoma, psychosis, and nonspecific urethritis. And so it's important that you practice good urinary hygiene. You always want to avoid your bladder as completely as possible so that you're not setting up a foundational basis to develop any growth. You want to make sure that if you're being intimate with somebody that you're not 100% familiar with, because that does happen in our society. You want to make sure that you practice safe sex. And you want to make sure that, ideally, if you're going to have sex with anybody, I mean, I'm not trying to be righteous or moral here, you probably should get to know the person a little bit better before you exercise your right to fraternize in that way, simply because it's important to treat each other with respect and, you know, go about your business. And you need to know who you're with and what their history is so that you're not setting yourself up for sexually transmitted diseases like a chlamydia. But interesting question, Marshall. What else we got?
Well, there are other infectious diseases of the bladder, and one I've heard is called interstitial cystitis. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. What is interstitial cystitis, and why does it happen? Why does it occur?
Well, it's inflammation of the middle layer of the bladder muscle, which we touched on in the last section, creates pain when the bladder is stressed, either the filling of the bladder or the emptying of the bladder, because the muscle itself, the muscle within the bladder is a muscle that is flexible. So it has the ability to stretch, and it has the ability to contract. And when the stretching or the contracting of that muscle takes place, it fires the nerves related to what controls that muscle, and those nerves can get irritated. And when the middle layer of the bladder gets irritated, they call that interstitial or between cystitis, meaning the cystitis has to do with inflammation within the bladder. So if you got inflammation of the middle layer of the muscles of the bladder, they call that interstitial cystitis. It's very painful. It's very uncomfortable. And there's some nutrition that we support the people who get that with that helps to get rid of their pain relatively quickly and helps their bladder return back to normal, because you need to get the inflammation out of the middle layer.
So there are ways to treat bladder infections naturally without drugs?
Oh, always. There's things that we can do. And once we determine what type of infection that you have, whether it's bacterial or whether it's viral, and 99 times out of 100, it's usually bacterial, there's specific food supplements that we use to help change the pH of the urine. Okay, if the urine becomes too alkaline, you're going to grow certain things. If your urine is too acidic, then you won't grow anything. And so it's important for the health of the individual that their urine is acidic, because that doesn't allow for proper growth. But when we eat too many carbohydrates and we change the pH of what's going on in our body, then we can increase the pH and create an alkalinity issue, which is then going to allow bacteria to grow. And so one of the remedies that we talk about with regards to bladder infections is taking something like a cranberry complex or drinking cranberry juice. Cranberry juice doesn't work really anymore, because cranberry juice out sold in public isn't real anymore. It's made from concentrate, and it's got lots of other added sugars, etc. And the difficulty is that the acidity that used to be found in cranberry juice is no longer acidic the way that it used to be, so it's ineffective. And the high concentrations of urine have a tendency to feed the infection, which makes the infection worse. So we have a supplement called Cranberry Complex, which is concentrated cranberries that helps to acidify the urine pretty quickly. Then you want to take a couple other supplements to help support the bladder strength so that it stays healthy, so that it's not doesn't become a breeding ground for infection to develop.
Well, here's the question then. What happens if you don't treat the bladder infection using the methodologies we just described?
Or even using medical methods. You
right.
could create a kidney disease resulting from the infection climbing up the ureters and reaching all the way to the kidneys. So kidney infections are no laughing matter. I mean, they're very serious, because when your kidneys crap out, you're not long for this world at all. So we want to make sure getting any kind of infection lets you know that your immune system is functioning less than 40%. So we want to make sure that we maintain the integrity of a strong immune system so that you don't get infections. But if you get a bladder infection, that can become more serious very quickly, which is why you want to do an effective treatment as soon as possible.
Well, we started out talking about infections with chlamydia. Are bladder infections mostly transmitted through sexual contact?
They can be. It doesn't have to be through sexual contact, and it is common to be associated with that behavior. So again, we want you to practice good hygiene. We want you to know the partner that you're pairing up with. You know, I even have husbands and wives, you know, it's like, all right, so when the urge hits, the urge hits. And if one of the two people in the communion there that's going to go on, or even both of them. You know, I just got back from the gym, and you're all sweaty, and that, you know, that's kind of
right.
You're turning me on, you know. And well, let me take a shower first because I just got back from the gym.
So good hygiene, is it enough to avoid bladder infections?
For the most part, yes, and it could come from imbalances within the urinary pH that we talked about before. And so you want to maintain good diet, you want to maintain, good hygiene, and you just want to stay on top of your health. I mean, that's really what the purpose of this show is. It's called When Your Health Matters, and we happen to be talking about bladder health today and all the different nuances that go along with bladder health. And we just want people to be healthy. And if you practice good hygiene and you eat quality foods and you drink enough water, then you should never have bladder issues.
So do antibiotics eradicate the problem?
Well, the symptoms, they definitely do. The possibility of driving the infection deeper into the system is always a possibility if it's not fully cleared. And so, interestingly enough, I have a patient who I was just talking to during the break who just got admitted to the hospital, and they're going to put him on four different antibiotics. So that's going to basically trash his microbiome, which is essentially going to get rid of any resistance that the body has. And he knows enough that when he gets out of the hospital that he's going to come see me, and I'm going to restore balance to his microbiome so that he doesn't have holes in his system. You know, essentially what they're doing is they're getting rid of the border wall within the person. And so now any infection that wants to come in, that's going to migrate from the southern hemisphere, is just going to be able to walk right into his body without having an issue. So we need to reestablish a good, strong border wall.
So obviously this patient has, he's going to get four antibiotics. But what other kinds of problems do antibiotics leave behind?
Yeast infections. Again, disruption of the microbiome, which is the foundational basis for getting allergies, for getting too many toxins in your liver, which leads to arthritis, which leads to slow healing time, which leads to inflammation, which leads to hormonal imbalances, which leads to autoimmune disease, which leads to, name a health problem. I mean, that's what all of this ends up leading to when you disrupt your microbiome.
So antibiotics have some unintended consequences, obviously. They can't tell the difference between good bacteria and bad, so it kills all the microbial life and rips apart the microbiome. Aren't some of the microbes necessary for good health?
Yes, they are, and they have a symbiotic relationship within the digestive system. That's what the microbiome is. It's a conglomeration of more bacteria than you have cells in your body in an effort to help digest, assimilate, and absorb your food in a normal fashion, and you get different chemical responses that cause you to feel different moods and cause you to produce different hormones. And so the microbiome is truly the regulator of our overall health, and when you put things in that disrupt that microbiome, then you're creating the foundational basis for health issues.
Right. So the drugs being used for bladder problems have a long list of side effects. That's what it sounds like to me. Is there something else that can treat the bladder issues without drugs or surgery? You did mention food supplements.
Yeah, we have whole food supplements, and dietary changes can and always are the solution when done properly. And it just becomes a question of making sure that you have proper supervision and proper understanding. Nobody should take action without having understanding, because then you're asking for an accident to occur because you don't understand what the consequences are going to be.
Right. Oh, I know a lot of people travel more often than they have in the past. So if they're not able to come and see you, and you did talk about cranberry juice from the store is not really effective, can you find cranberry juice that is effective, organic or something? And if you get at the grocery store, how about cranberries themselves?
Cranberries themselves are fine. The difficulty is that all of these things are very high in sugar, and sugar suppresses your immune system and feeds bacteria and allows bacterial overgrowth. So there's a component within cranberries that creates the acidity, and having that component, which is in high concentrations in one of the supplements that we use, which is called a cranberry complex, having that available and taking that for a period of time, in addition to some things to help support the bladder health in general and the pH balance within the bladder, these whole food supplements, I have seen for over 30 years make a difference within people as far as their bladder health goes and eradicating any infections that doesn't alter the microbiome. It strengthens the microbiome, whereas antibiotics destroys the microbiome.
Doc Rick, that is really fascinating. I know that when I travel, and you know that I travel quite a lot around the world, I always make sure that I come and see you and get my load up of the supplements that I need. Are there other nutritional supplements that can help strengthen the bladder in addition to the cranberry complex?
Yeah, we talked to, or maybe we didn't talk about, the two that come to mind are a thing called AC Carbamide, and the second one is Alboplex, and they seem to work quite well over the past 30 years in my practice. And you should be checked. You shouldn't just take them willy-nilly thinking that if you have a bladder issue that I'll just take these supplements and my bladder issue should go away. That's not the intention of talking about this. The intention is get a proper evaluation, understand what's creating your symptoms, and then don't just mask your symptoms with medication. Address the reason for your symptoms and support the body to return back to balance. And realistically, the only reason why a body gets a problem is because it's missing the necessary ingredients to maintain normal function. So giving the body the proper nutritional ingredients helps to strengthen the body so that you don't get these problems and ultimately sets a person up for success. And having a proper facilitator or a proper guide that can lead you to the understanding that you need instead of just simply writing you a script and sending you off to create other problems, I would opt for the first option versus the second option. And that's what I hope my listeners do too.
Right. And as one of your patients and practice members, you know that before I go on a trip, I see you. And when I come back, I'm like Humpty Dumpty. You put me back together again from all the travel. What about homeopathic remedies?
They're also quite effective if you have a proper formulation. You want to, if you come to my office, we have a remedy specifically for kidney bladder issues called the water remedy. It is a homeopathic remedy. It supports the whole water element of the kidneys and the bladder. But if you're going to use homeopathy, you want to go to a homeopathic practitioner that isn't a cookbook practitioner. You want to go to a master homeopath. And these are the people that can help you understand the mechanisms of cause, how the homeopathy works specifically. They can explain to you what homeopathy is and how Hahnemann came up with the practices of homeopathy using dilutions. And you know, different people have different constitutions. So they will need a constitutional remedy for themselves. And having a good master practitioner who knows how to recognize that and how to figure that out for the individual, that would be important. So homeopaths are very effective. We do some homeopathy in the office myself, but I certainly am not somebody that only uses homeopathy and focuses all their information there.
Well, I'd like to wrap up my questions with this important question. I think it's an overview. If you don't want to live with bladder problems, what do you recommend, Doc Rick?
Well, I recommend that you, go have your bladder evaluated from a functional standpoint. If you have bladder issues, if you have incontinence, if you have overactive bladder, if you have difficulty voiding, if you have interstitial cystitis, if you have any kind of bladder issues whatsoever, you want to, get a proper evaluation to understand what exactly is your bladder issue. You want to make sure that you address all the different causes that are contributing to your bladder issue. You want to work with a practitioner that's going to help you restore balance to your general urinary system and make sure that the bladder is working properly, make sure that the pH of the urine is balanced, and make sure that you're eating the proper ingredients to maintain good, high-quality bladder function. Then once you do that, you get your spine adjusted on a regular basis because, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, the bladder meridian runs up the spine and helps to maintain the integrity of the spine. Getting adjusted is going to help to maintain the integrity of the bladder meridian, which helps to maintain the integrity of the bladder. So I hope that's helpful for the listener. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot.
Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill, you know how one is best. The thing is, there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before. I've been rushing back to the doctor. He said, are you...